Forever Dog.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to tell on the pod.
It is a podcast about scary things told funnily and discussed with fear by indoor children who are elderly and our friends.
Old kids. You know, kids who get up and go like, ugh. It's like, nothing's sore. Why are you making noises?
You know the energy that childless people have where they just never quite, you know, grow up? That's us.
There's this story that I find very charming about my Uncle Jimmy where when he was a kid, my grandma was concerned because every time he would bend over to pick something up, he would make like a groaning sound. And she thought, oh no, like he might have a hernia or something. So she took him to the doctor. And then quickly realized that he was just imitating her when she would bend over to pick things up.
Oh.
Like he just thought that's what people do when they bend over to pick something up. They'd be like, ugh.
Oh my God. He was like a parrot that copies people like cursing and stuff.
Trying to guess behavior.
We're all just stupid birds.
We're all just stupid birds at heart, aren't we? Anna, how's it going? It's holiday season. Have you started any of your shopping yet?
It's holiday season. Every question you just asked me is a full attack.
It
how
is an absolute.
Dare you? Hey, how you doing? Fail yet? Yes, Andrew, I failed.
Where does your worth lie?
Yeah. I went on vacation and I tried to buy good souvenirs, which just never happens. I always buy any sort of like little method I have to kind of. Like, oh, I'll look at everything on the first day and then think about what I still think about and then go get that. It's like I tried to get something cool for my assistant who like helped me figure out where to go on a trip. And I got just a stupid basket of dried turd fruit. And then just like, why did I, how was that what I landed on? So anyway, the answer is no. I have only failed so far.
I think that's why I had a really refreshing conversation with my mom. And this is the first year we're doing this where we were like, you know what? No presents. Let's not do it.
Oh my God. So grown up.
I know. I'm like, I'm curious whether it's going to follow through or not. I feel very, I feel a great deal of like freedom in that.
Oh yeah. I bet. Do you think she will follow through?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I do know like my mom has many love languages, but like gift giving and shopping really stresses her out. She loves hosting. She loves cooking. She loves taking people out to do activities. But like buying and shopping, she is just not her deal.
Got it. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. I'm curious to see whether it pans out. The problem is I had already been planning to get my parents a gift, but I think it's just going to be a housewarming gift. Like I think it's going to operate outside the context of the holidays.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. And like, you know, acts of service, maybe I'm sure she.
Yes. Love that. Yeah.
You know, that's always a good gift. Take a sledgehammer and break up her driveway in case she wants to do something.
She's doing a grass driveway. Yeah.
I'm a really good at gift. Oh, that's cool. Wow. What a European. It's almost European.
I know. It feels very European. Yeah.
Good for you. Well,
yeah, good for you.
Well, look, we're into a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
We're doing a podcast. We're doing it. You're listening to a podcast. Everyone's got something going on.
If you've made it this far, if you press the required buttons to make it this far, then you are not too far gone. And I think that's good.
Yeah. Everything gonna be fine.
Unless you've somehow dropped your phone and it landed in such a way on several different dried beans that accidentally brought you here.
That,
in which case,
we've seen from the metrics that accounts for about 50% of our listenership.
Yeah. Our listeners, for the most part, have some dried beans or grains on the ground of their apartment.
And they're
maybe
clumsy.
Recent, maybe longtime beans.
Very clumsy listeners.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome. Thank you.
They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Anna, I've got some really great listener-submitted emails today.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
So first of all, I will say we discussed last week the type of kid who was an early riser to do figure skating. And we
a prince among children.
Yeah, we did get an email from a general listener named Lonnie, who was one of those kids, and I'm very charmed by that.
Cool.
Yeah. So shout out to Lonnie. Great work.
Very impressed by you. And what you did was amazing. And don't not think it was amazing. You're amazing.
That is very
true. It's cool that you could do all the twirls.
I mean, the ankle strength alone, I'm impressed by.
You're so cool. You did it. Good job.
So Anna, we're really getting a wonderful cavalcade of emails from new folks and old folks. And I'm going to send something from a classic listener and someone who's writing in from the first time. So we're getting both sides of the spectrum, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay. So this email from an icon of horror, the subject is, "You guys summoned Son of Owl Dad."
Oh.
From our old friend Matt, who submitted two great sister stories incorporating ghostly appearances in the form of an owl. Very much appreciated. And this is from Matt. "Anna and Andrew, I had to write a goodbye note to the podcast when I heard myself invoked right before the announcement. I suppose since it's based on a finite body of work, we all assumed the day would come when the podcast would end, but I was still surprised by how affected I was to hear the news this morning. You guys are the only podcast I have listened to since episode one originally aired, because I had been following Andrew on Twitter for several weeks prior on the strength of the Ann Dowd impressions." Thank you, Matt. That's very good. "And the first podcast that will have ended while I was an active listener." Wow.
Wow.
"You are one of the podcasts that got me through the year of working from home while living alone in a new house with two cats, a dog, and potentially a ghost during 2020. And of course, you shared in the legend of my owl dad. I can't thank you to enough for the joy and laughs you've brought to so many people's lives. I am down for that brunch anytime. I'll bring the ghost. You guys bring the grib."
We will.
"Here's one last crazy bird call for the road." So classically, Matt has sent us bizarre bird noises.
This is really good.
Including an owl that sounded like, oh. This is the Atlantic Puffin. Are you ready, okay, Anna, for the call of the Atlantic Puffin?
Never, but yes.
Okay, here we go. If an ad starts for like hemorrhoid cream, you're welcome.
"How to make an ice cream cake at home."
It is an ice cream cake ad. Okay.
Andrew, pay. You got to pay for YouTube Premium.
Here we go.
It's. No. That's a bird?
Yes.
Oh. God.
Yeah, this just sounds like what I think Americans sound like in European museums.
It is like if you've seen people do like impressions of what English sounds like to non-English speakers.
Yes.
It sounds
God.
A little bit like that.
You're absolutely right.
God, Andrew, what do you have any notes for the Atlantic Puffin? Like, what feedback do you have? And try to be constructive.
Okay. I think with the Atlantic Puffin, good job subverting expectations of what you sound like.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, Atlantic Puffins are sort of like small, I don't know. I would sort of call them like dopey looking birds.
Okay.
That might have like, la, 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 like I would think they would have kind of like higher turkey noise voices.
Sure.
But instead, it's like they've got sort of low guttural things. I think right now we're venturing a little bit too far into human noise territory. And I would say if the puffin could start exploring some maybe other species to sound like, that would just be something to not only excite us, but also themselves.
That's really good feedback, Andrew. And it's good, like, you know, you get to a certain level of excellence, the feedback, you're bracing for it to be negative, but then it's just suggestions of other ways to grow.
I love
and new things to try. It's really, it's not about the performance itself. It's about the performer.
Exactly. Do you have any feedback for the Puffins, Anna?
I think mostly I would say nice bird, pretty bird. Good job, bird. go off bird.
Go off bird. That's great feedback. I think that was our duo of American Idol Puffins edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't need a Simon. It's all positive
responses. You were really a guest judge. You were like from Danson, but this is more of a Derek Hough note where it's just about the form.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. I have watched enough Dancing with the Stars to understand who Derek Hough is. I also watched So You Think You Can Dance. Something about like the first season of that I was very intrigued by.
I can't even speak. I get nervous for dancers. Especially on So You Think You Can Dance, there's so many troops that come in that I'm like, oh God, they're all in some like back room.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
I do remember in the season I watched, there was a very enthusiastic girl who was like, you know, my dance style is like a girl in the background of a Cyndi Lauper music video. And immediately when she got on stage, she danced for 2 seconds, then threw up everywhere.
Oh no.
And then she did continue with her audition. And I also remember that the Ryan Seacrest of the show at the time was an Australian woman who, when she said the word vote, it sounded like vite. And it was just very confusing. She was like, Mike, to vite.
No, this can't be.
But back to Matt's email. He closes
off
by saying,
this is what Matt wrote. This is what he was writing about.
This is all from the voice of Matt. Take care. Wishing both of you every single good thing. And thanks again, Matt. P.S. Partly inspired by the response to you guys reading of the Owl Dad story and also partly inspired by my friends and family constantly telling me to write a book. I'm writing a book. Oh. It's a semi-autobiographical Southern Gothic family drama / ghost story with appearances by none other than the shape-shifting ghost dad himself. Doesn't have a title yet, but I'm halfway through the first draft and will, of course, send you guys both a copy when it's done. Matt, that's great news.
Yes. Art will never hurt you. Keep going.
We love a book.
No, that's great.
Yeah, no, this is a delight. Everyone's got a good ghost story in them, and putting it down on paper is a lot of fun. And it does not give the ghost more power, despite what folklore would say.
Yeah. No, that's good. The ghosts, they're not clocking you.
They are not clocking.
That's my main advice.
Don't worry about what ghosts are thinking about you, because ghosts are only thinking about themselves.
They are. You know? They're narcissists.
They are narcissists. Always wearing the same clothes, always clattering about. Classic narcissist behavior.
Like, why are you moving my stuff around? Because you only can conceive of the world through your own lens.
Oh my God.
You know?
I watched a 5-minute TED Talk about narcissists, which means I'm an expert.
What did you learn?
I learned that you can undo it.
This is good to hear.
Yeah, that having a narcissist disorder is almost entirely environmental.
Whoa.
Again, I am a registered expert because I watched a 5-minute YouTube video. So everything I'm saying is completely accurate with no variations.
Wow. Well, we'd have to concede that because we're friends, I am also an expert because I'm friends with someone who watched a 5-minute video.
Yeah. Now that I've told you, that is the truth and the light. You know,
that's really great news. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And interestingly, a big part of it is that a lot of narcissist behavior comes in the form of when you receive feedback, how you respond, like how you can be honest about behavior without it impacting your sense of self.
Whoa.
You know? So
I'm
like
scrambling to this video.
Yeah, I was very. Yeah, like to me, it was for every person, whether or not we have technically narcissist disorder or whatever. I also think it's important, like when you receive feedback from people, like taking a second before responding,
yeah,
and realizing that that behavior that you've exhibited before is not an attack on you as an individual. And I think that's very helpful to know.
I was not ready for this. Oh my God. That rules.
That rules.
That rule.
Anna, we have a very charming message sent to us, sent to our Instagram, which, wow.
How does it even work?
What a time. I can't believe I figured out how to read our messages. This is from Arden. Andrew and Anna, I am devastated this podcast is ending before I got to share with you the story I've been meaning to share with you since like the second week you were on the air. Wow. Someone made a reference to The Mummy and Brendan Fraser. I mean, Constance.
Who could it have been?
Yeah.
Our podcast?
This is when I knew we would be friends. My daughter, she is now 22, and I both love your podcast, and we've spent many bonding moments listening to your tales about the book that traumatized us both years apart. Those drawings are not meant for elementary school children, but I digress. Sarah, age 3, went to spend the night at her best friend Zoe's house. Parental judgments were made, and she returned home the next day gleefully telling me all about the movie they had watched the night before, The Mummy.
Oh.
Now, I know my daughter. She was going to be scared of that shit. I foresaw weeks, maybe months, of her sleeping smack in the middle of our bed. And Anna, here, accidentally, there is a Instagram voice message that happens.
Okay.
Which reveals, I think, that this was a talk-to-text told story. And
okay.
It's just, I'm not going to play it for privacy's sake, but it's just very funny and endearing, like narrating what Arden wants to say, followed by like period space. And then she starts again.
Oh, you can't be, we all got to give our hands a break.
Exactly. And then Arden quickly follows up with, well, I'm obviously really bad at sending Instagram messages.
I forgot it was Instagram. I have almost done this so often.
I
send
mean,
a recording of my armpit to an old coworker.
A mother making a good-natured mistake on Instagram is the gender of this podcast.
It. I tried to laugh, but I was too tired. Did you hear how bad the laugh was?
I don't mind that laugh, Anna.
So I'm going to live a long time.
You are. Okay, so back to Arden's message. I think I was saying I was very surprised that she was in her own bed. But I went in and saw that she had rounded up every single stuffed cat in our whole entire house.
Oh.
Even a giant ceramic cat that had been left to me by my grandmother.
Oh.
All these cats, tigers, lions, and other felines were lined up around her bed, ready to chase off any pesky mummies trying
cats.
To sand their way in her keyhole.
Oh my God, of course, because cats are the guardians of the underworld and the mummy is scared of them.
He is scared of cats until he is fully regenerated.
And then he will fear nothing. You know what?
Anyway, I love, love, love your podcast. And I kind of feel like you both would be the people I would gravitate to at the horrible holiday office party that gives me anxiety just imagining. But
yes.
Then Andrew would say, grab, Anna would introduce me to Ladybird, and all would be right in the world. Thank you for hundreds of episodes of joy. I will really miss you guys. And I never even got to tell you about the ghost at my very fancy Texas Hill Country summer camp. Her name was Betsy. She drowned in the river, and she maybe sometimes haunted the camp toilets. Betsy.
Good.
Okay, my name is Betsy. Two things about me. I drowned in the river, and maybe sometimes I haunt the toilets.
I don't know what it is about toilets. Maybe it's because they're all basically little rivers.
Pouring one out for scary stories to tell in the pod. Actually taking an Ambien so I can get a good night's sleep. Gone too soon. You will be missed. Arden. Thank you, Arden.
Oh my gosh. Arden, that rocks. Oh my God. And your daughter, that's so sweet.
That is very sweet.
And smart. It's nice. It must be nice when you see that your kid is using real logic to protect from fake ghosts.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that is, I do think there is some value. Like, and we get several listeners, you know, sending in messages about, it's not like exposure therapy, but I do think it's very often recommended. Like, things that scare you in a way that feel like obstructive to normal day-to-day life. Sometimes the best way to confront or work through them is through like learning from them and like gently exposing, like gently introducing yourself to them, which is kind of what this podcast is, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like I love the scariest movies the most, like the things that scare me the most are the things that I want to watch the most. And yeah. I've just been trying to watch more and more of them and that's been nice. But also, you know, I've lost hours of sleep. Sort of
it always surprises
scurrying
me.
To bed.
I watched that new Paranormal Activity movie that like takes place in an Amish community.
Oh.
And very silly, very fun, like a goofy, scary movie. And yet there was a moment from it, Anna, that when I went to bed that night, I really couldn't shake and it really did scare me.
Oh, man. I kind of want to know what it is.
Okay, I'll tell you the moment with no spoilers. So the basic gist is there is demonic activity happening in an Amish household.
Okay.
And at one point, there is what sounds like a baby in distress crying. And it is revealed to be a man making that noise to trap people. And it really, it just the image of that really, really scared me very much.
Yeah, that's hard.
Because I think I'd fall for it. I think I would fall for it.
I'd be dead every time.
I know. Demons know if you make a baby crying noise. I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, that's why you and I feel like would be a helpful duo in a horror movie together, because either we would be killed instantly. Or we could kind of help step outside of each other for a second and be like, just so you know, I understand the impulses to do this thing, but also have you considered this, you know?
Yeah, we're two people who, if nothing else, sit on our impulses a lot.
Yes.
And are good at talking ourselves out of things. I will methodically help my friend come to the decision to not go to something for hours, as long as it takes, really. And I think that would also serve us well.
That is very true. Yeah, you can't get trapped in a haunted house if you don't even leave the house, you know?
That's true.
It can't happen.
Certainly not.
If you're like, oh, my socks are in the dryer and I don't want to get them too dry, so I think I'll just not get up from the couch, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I can't perform that exorcism because my socks are in the dryer.
I would, but I don't want to get sick from having feet that are a little damp.
So those are the two messages today, Anna.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Andrew, did anything spooky happen to you this week?
Anna,
is
boy,
that
oh boy.
Personal?
I did the thing where at the end of the year, I was like, I got to do all my doctor's appointments.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, making the appointments felt like the smartest person in the world. Now I'm not so sure. But it ended up being a good thing. I'm glad I did them. But I went to my dermatologist because everybody, make sure you do those skin screenings, especially if skin cancer runs in the family.
How'd you do?
Did okay. Two biopsies. Okay. I mean, I get biopsies almost every time. We're a moly family. And I regret to say it, but it is the truth. Each of us has been like, can you take part in a study? Like my brothers and I. So it's like the moles are fine, but we want to take some samples for a study. And we're like, well, okay.
You are the Henrietta Lacks of moles.
That is true.
Something about your moles.
That is true. It's that Irish background. We need more genetic material than we already have. Anyway, my dermatologist, who I really love, and who's always like, I can't imagine being a comedian. I'm just not funny at all. And I'm like, I don't think that's true. Like, she's very charming, very funny. I've had a mole on my torso since I was a little kid, like for as long as I can remember. And it always looks like like this is going to be a red flag. You know, this is a problem child.
Okay.
But it is not, it has never been cancerous, but I was kind of like, I'm really just tired of thinking about it. Let's get her out of there, you know? And my dermatologist was like, you know what? I support that. Like, when in doubt, cut it out, you know?
Oh.
And as she was cutting it out, she said to me the following.
Wow. I mean, you've had the mold this long. It's almost like saying goodbye to a childhood friend. Because, well, you were worried that one day they might kill you.
Oh.
Which tickled the hell out of me.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
Imagine. And then I was like, it is like that. It's like, I really value the time we had together, but there are some warning signs that are developing here. And I think maybe for now, I'm going to have to establish some distance because maybe one day you will kill me.
Good job. Good joke, Derm.
I know. It's a good Derm joke that she made. And then she told me the joke that she tells when she needs to lighten the mood in a surgical setting. Would you like to hear this joke?
I would, yes. Very much.
She told it with like a lot of buildup too. I'm not going to be able to incorporate all the buildup, but there were like a lot of details being used that I was like, oh, is all this going to come back later? Okay. Here it is. A mother and father tomato are walking through the park after dinner with their child, Little Tomato. And they're walking and they're walking, and Little Tomato is dawdling behind them. And Father Tomato is getting very upset, and Mother Tomato's trying to, you know, get Little Tomato's attention. And Little Tomato continues falling behind. Finally, Father Tomato loses his patience and smashes Little Tomato on the sidewalk and says, "Ketchup!" And that's the joke.
It's incredibly violent.
A very violent joke, you know, primarily about toxic masculinity and fatherhood.
Yeah. Where are they going? That's where so are important.
Where are they going that's so
where
important?
Where are you going that's more important than your son being alive?
That's always a good question. And that's something maybe all of us should think about, any of us in particular who are parents. Where are you going, and is it worth your son being alive?
I ask myself that, and I don't have either a life or a son.
It's never too early to practice having a little tomato son.
That's the closest, especially if you eat tomato. You get birth.
I mean, that egg constantly. Are you a tomato person, Anna?
Situational. Uh-huh. How about you?
Yeah, same. I always love the idea. Like, I feel like every year Bon Appetit or whatever, you know, Bougie magazine puts out a thing about like, there's nothing better than a beefsteak tomato sandwich on crisp country rustic bread.
Oh.
And I'm like, I like the idea of it. I think it looks great in pictures. I myself have never had a tomato raw that I felt like was ready for prime time, you know?
I think the trick is that we have so many bad out of season tomatoes because we as a society demand to have tomatoes when it's not summertime.
It's very fair.
And that's when the tomatoes are good.
Anna, did anything scary happen to you this week?
I guess the scary thing, it's just boring to talk about being so tired that you're tired, but I evidently what I did, I became so tired that I put my laptop in my backpack, which I had no memory of, and closed the backpack. And then I was talking to somebody and did that, and then started looking around for something. And they were like, "What are you looking for?" And I was like, "My laptop." I was like, "I have to bring it home." And then I looked in the bag and it was in there. So,
yeah.
I'm gonna live a long time.
You were in act one of a scary movie in that, it feels.
It was like I woke up holding a knife over my husband.
Yeah, wow.
Or not. I don't know. I guess it's like a boring story.
No, I do think it is. I think very often it's played for laughs when it's like, I can't find my sunglasses and they're on.
It's scary.
It is scary because your body has failed you.
Scary.
Scary. But you know what has...
I interrupted you. Get out.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production.
Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @ForeverDogTeam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.